Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
The Mets are playing a dangerous game of chicken with Pete Alonso here. Now, I know there are many layers to the conversation, whether it's Pete's side and Boris, whether it's the Mets side and posturing, whatever it may be. Bottom line is this, and I throw this out there over social media over the course of the holiday week, and I hope everybody's enjoying themselves on the holiday break and had a great Christmas and looking forward to New Year's. We got a special family-friendly show today with Jack and Harrison Francesa in their father's studio, so I'm looking forward to that coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll talk to both those throughout the course of the next couple hours, both those guys. Have some fun here talking some sports, but with Pete Alonso, I want to know this, if you're from the Mets perspective, and you could say, well, all the first basemen are off the board, the Mets have the leverage, Sal, the price is dropping, okay, great, right? I understand why you're saying that. The reality is, who is going to replace Pete Alonso in that Mets lineup? Who is going to protect Juan Soto? I'm all ears. Give me some answers. Give me some options. Because I can't find, outside of potentially a trade that I'm not seeing, or one, you know, for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who might not be available after all, outside of a trade, an unforeseen trade, who is going to be the bat to protect Juan Soto in the Mets lineup? And really even replace Pete's production from a year ago. You can't just say, well, Soto's in, and now their offense is better. No, as much as I want a Juan Soto, it's not. It's supposed to be Soto plus Alonso back minimum. By the way, they still need a DH, Jock Peterson off the board. So when you're looking, and there are some other options there, sure, but when you're looking to try to upgrade this team, and that's what the Mets need to be doing, upgrading their roster. We know about Manaea now being back. That was a game. Like, they had to have Manaea back, minimum. And you could argue even going in, their starting pitching is still not on par with whether it's the Phillies or the Dodgers, whatever it may be, on paper, just like it was a year ago. So you give Stearns the benefit of the doubt that they'll figure that part out. I'm not concerned about that just yet, especially after Manaea is back. I want to know how they're going to bolster that lineup and specifically protect Juan Soto. And the idea that, I guess it was Carlos Baerga reporting that the Mets offered Alonso 3 years, $90 million, which he turned down. Well, I don't know if I trust Baerga, but what I will say is I heard that the Mets thought, and this was even before all the first basemen came off the board last week, that the Mets thought they might be able to get Pete for under $100 million, which led me to then tweet that, hey, they're playing a dangerous game of chicken. I understand the value might not be there for Pete, certainly not what he thought. I mean, Pete Alonso signed on with Scott Boras, which was ridiculous. He got greedy. He made a major mistake. They turned down the $160 million deal that was offered to them a couple years ago. Signs on with Boras. He was expecting Aaron Judge money. Like, he's not Aaron Judge. Never was, never will be. All due respect. But he was expecting $300 million, let's say $250. And I'll admit, even I was like, all right, well, maybe the Mets go to 220 to get Pete. Now, forget three. Pete's hoping he's worth two. He's not getting anywhere near two. So you kind of maybe meet in a happy medium. But the idea that he would fall to under 100, that's why I say the Mets are playing a dangerous game of chicken. Because when you do what the Mets have done, and I don't think that it's wrong the way that they've operated here as far as going out there and making Soto a priority, bringing back Manaea, you know, extending the players that they have. They offered Pete a contract extension. He turned it down. So the rest should be fair game. Okay, big boy, go out there. We hope you have a monster year, which he didn't. Go test the market. We'll see what your market is, and then we'll act in accordance with that. Well, right now, the market is crap. However, it doesn't mean that Pete Alonso isn't personally offended or insulted or hurt by the way the Mets are operating. And if they did actually offer him a three-year, which is good AAV, $30 million a year, if they did offer him 3 years, $90 million, that is borderline disrespectful. And if I'm Alonso and I'm feeling disrespected and insulted, even though I know I'm part of the problem, whether it's a down year or down 2 years or turning down 160, if I'm Alonso, I'm borderline disrespected. And if all things are equal, and somebody will eventually, like I know the thought right now as well, power's overrated, nobody's paying for power, bullcrap. Somebody will pay for power. There will be a team that says, you know what, the price has come down so much on Alonso, I'll get involved. And if all things are equal, Maybe Pete says, you know what, Mets? Screw you. You had the chance. Now I'm out of here. And that's why I say it's a dangerous game of chicken, because if he does that, I don't know that he will. I don't know who's offering what, but just use a little common sense here. If the price keeps coming down, more people will be like, all right, well, I don't love him as a first baseman. I don't think he's going to age well. But, I mean, heck, if I can get him in 3-4 years for, you know, $27 million a year, I'll sign for it. I'll take that power, which you know is going to play. That's the one thing he does consistently. Then what? Then where do the Mets go? I want answers, because I haven't heard a good one. All I keep hearing is, the Mets are in a great position, this and that. Who? Who is going to protect Juan Soto in that lineup? And remember, the Mets clearly promised promised Soto something, because you heard it at his press conference. This is going to be great, the future of the organization. He basically said, who's hitting behind me? And the Mets had answers. Well, we don't know who those answers are, but if it's not Pete Alonso, then who? And if the Mets think they're going to get Alonso back, and it seems to be the industry, and that's always where I start to get scared. Oh, well, everybody in the industry just expects Alonso to be back with the Mets. It's a foregone conclusion. Not so fast. Every time that's the case, somebody comes out of nowhere and signs somebody. And also, if you're just using some common sense, like we said, not only the idea that others would want to potentially pay for power, but how about Pete being ticked off a little bit? And if you're ticked off and feeling disrespected, and there's an equal offer out there, you say, you know what? I'm going to go to Chicago and prove myself with whoever. I'm just throwing out a team. Or I'm going to go to San Francisco, prove myself with the Giants. It's a dangerous game the Mets are playing without a real viable solution, if not Alonso. Do I love Pete Alonso? No, I don't, actually. I don't. I'm disappointed in his last couple years. But I do love the idea of Pete's power being in that lineup now with Juan Soto, where Pete doesn't have to be the guy or the second guy to Lindor. He's not. He's not even the third guy anymore, assuming that Vientos can continue what he did a year ago or build on what he did a year ago. And that's a big assumption as well. But Lindor, Soto, Vientos, Pete, that's a nice first four, however you want to structure it, or Mendoza wants to structure it. That's a nice first four. If you take Pete out of that mix, who is replacing him? All the other options, like my dream coming into the offseason for the Mets was Soto and Adames. Well, Adames is off the board. He was off the board before Soto. So you can't get that. And the reason why I said that is I thought he was the second best available bat on the open market. Well, he's not available anymore. Okay, well, then you start to go down the list. Well, who's next? Show me the bats that are available and tell me who's better than Pete Alonso, which is why the Mets better. They got to be very careful here about upsetting their former star, one of the faces of their franchise. I don't get into the homegrown nonsense. That's just not for me. Like, does it mean something? Sure, it's cool. I care about production. I don't care where you were born, where you come from, who you're dating. I care about putting up numbers and producing. Pete Alonso is going to hit with power. He's done it in New York. He did it in the postseason in New York, so it's not like he can't handle the pressure. Do I think he's going to be a 250, 260 hitter like he was at his peak? Probably not, but he doesn't have to be. He needs to provide some protection, being that when Lindor, when Soto get on base, Pete's going to come up with runners on. He's got to drive them in. He's been a power RBI guy his entire career. And I'm fine with it if you say, okay, well, you're done with Pete, or you don't want to pay whatever the price is that Pete wants. I'm fine with that. I want to know then what's the alternative, because there better be one. Because if there is no alternative to Pete Alonso, and it's not like, oh, yeah, we'll move Vientos to first and go with Mauricio with the young kids. No, like it can't be that. And I don't even love Bregman. Bregman to the Yankees, yes, we'll get to that maybe coming up in a little bit. Bregman for the Mets is not that fit. He's not that bad. He's a better all-around player, which is why I think he fits the Yankees well. Defensively, whatever, he could still hit with some power, but that's not the impact bat that the Mets need along with Juan Soto. So who is it? And if they don't have that proper replacement for Pete, then even with the addition of Soto, the Mets have failed this offseason. We'll do plenty of football coming up in a little bit. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Jeff is in Point Lookout. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Good, Jeff. How are you?
Here's my perspective. King Cohen, listen up. And this is coming from me. I do not like Pete Alonso because I'm a baseball guy. He's what the Mets need. My perspective, pay him his money. 6 years, $150.
Yeah.
Guess what? You have him next year. You want Vladdy? Go get Vladdy next year. We have the money. Burns, do not experiment. Do not put Vientos at first base. Leave him at third. Let him get more seasoning. Let him hit again. Let's not put more pressure on the kid. Alonso's going to hit 250.
If you were asking me, and thank you for the call, and I do appreciate you checking in, I'm in agreement with you. If you were asking me, would I rather have Pete Alonso long-term, let's say for the next 4 or 5 years, or Vlad Guerrero Jr., I would rather have Vlad Guerrero Jr. Okay, but you got to give me an answer as far as a stopgap first base situation goes. Who is it? Yankees got Goldschmidt, Santana off the board, all these other first basemen coming off the board. Well, who is it? Who's left? That's the one thing everybody can say, oh, don't overpay. And I do agree. I think Pete is at a point, unfortunately for him, where he's in too deep and he's got to have realized he made a mistake. And maybe that's why this is going to drag out, because Boris is, not going to have Eagle over his face with this Alonso contract situation. So maybe they have it play out. Maybe they try to take a 1 year, 2 year pillow contract with the opt outs to try to save face the way that Boris did last year with a bunch of his clients. Think Matt Chapman, for example. And maybe Pete goes out and has a big year, and then maybe he could get a 4 or 5 year deal, I guess. But the way that maybe the Mets and Pete could come to a common ground, like the idea that the Mets think they could get him for under 100. Especially for 3 years. And maybe that is the pillow contract. Maybe there are opt-outs in there, so he's going to get $30 million this year. If he produces, he could opt out and see if he can make more. I don't know if Pete's ever going to have a better chance to make more money. He's only going to get older. So, like, what's going to change? This is not just a one-year sample of Pete Alonso and why you would or wouldn't pay him. This is what he projects to be, and it is what he has done. You know you're going to get power from Pete Alonso moving forward. And maybe the way that you save face a little bit, if you're Alonso, is, all right, well, give us 140, which is what you offered us 2 years ago. We turned it down, plus, he got paid the $20-plus million last year. So that would essentially be the same deal that he turned down a couple years ago. If the Mets could do that, and then Alonso says, you know what, okay, I'm fine with that, that's a fair middle ground. Under 100 for Pete at this point, after you already offered him, look, I know things change. If you're going to be ruthless with a guy like Alonso, and that's fair. That's fair, but you run the risk that he may walk. And if he does, you better have a replacement for him. And maybe Stearns knows more than we do. Maybe there is an obvious one that he sees, or maybe not an obvious one, but a trade that he sees that's going to be the case. I'm not seeing it. Remember, they need an impact bat. Impact bat to go along with Juan Soto in that lineup. Who is it? Go trade for Vlad Guerrero Jr. To me, that would be the best thing that they could do. Can they do that? Are they willing to give up the prospects to get a one-year player in Guerrero? Now, they could extend them, obviously, beyond that, but the idea of getting them both, that's not going to happen. Last caller just talking about, well, why can't the Mets just go give Alonso the 150 or whatever? And look, maybe Pete doesn't even want the one. I don't know what Pete's thinking, but I can imagine that Pete is feeling disrespected by the $90 million offer. Like, that's not a long-term contract that he's looking for. I know the sport has changed. It's evolved, especially after they offered him the contract that he turned down. He made a mistake. He's going to have to live with that. But at least if the Mets could do right by their star, who did have a good postseason and is proven in New York and is proven to power. But let's not minimize the value of what Pete Alonso can bring. There's still some value there. And it's more valuable to the Mets than maybe outside of town. But they're playing the game of chicken. And if Pete decides to leave, then I think that they're screwed. And the reason why you can't extend, you can't sign Soto to $765 million. You can't pay Manaea, and although the Mets got a great value with Manaea, but just anybody else. You got to build out a team. So it's preposterous to think even Steve Cohen and his billions, you got to make sure you stay under the luxury tax threshold or at least around it within realistic expectations here. The Mets are paying Lindor a big amount. They extended Nimmo. They're paying their closer a ton of money. So it's not, to me, realistic to think, oh, well, go sign Pete to $140, $150 million, and then on top of that, go get Vlad Guerrero Jr. in the offseason. At some point, the high-end spending has to stop. If I'm investing big money, would I rather invest it in Pete or Vlad Guerrero Jr.? It's definitely Vlad Guerrero Jr., but you don't know what's going to happen. A lot could change in a year. Maybe the Blue Jays do extend Vlad to a long-term deal. Then he's off the board if you're anticipating getting him next year. And maybe even more importantly than that, what happens this year? What happens in the now? The one way the Mets can minimize the Juan Soto acquisition is to lose Pete Alonso without a replacement for him. And right now, there is no... Like, if you were to tell me a month ago, okay, sure, let Pete go, and they'll go get Adames, or they'll go get this guy. Like, Arenado, to me, is also not the impact bat. At third, we talked about Bregman. Arenado's not an impact bat anymore at this point in his career. He's an okay veteran that's on the decline. Good glove, bat is okay at best. Like, that's not the impact bat that you'd be looking for. Jeff is in the Bronx. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Sal, how you doing this morning?
How are you, Jeff?
I'm good. One thing I think that you're missing, though, from the Alonso standpoint, and listen, I want to sign him for life, but if he were to take a short-term deal, it would eliminate, and he tests free agency, let's say, next year again, he wouldn't have the qualifying offer attached to him. And you saw, like, with the Yankees with Christian Walker, they were reluctant to sign him because of draft pick compensation that would be attached to him. And once you get the qualifying offer once, you can never get it again.
Right, it hurts their value in free agency when the draft pick is attached to them. Understood, but still. So if you're Alonso, what, you think it's better off to take 1 year?
Yeah, and then theoretically test it next year. I mean, Heyman in his article estimated the draft picks are worth anywhere from $5 to $20 million.
Yeah, I understand that's a part of it, and it's been brought up too from the Yankees aspect. And thank you for the call, Jeff. We appreciate checking in. Been brought up from the Yankees aspect as well. Oh, they're not going to go get Bregman. I'm not so sure. I mean, the Yankees are trying to build a World Series team. You tell me they're worried about the draft picks? Come on. Go get Bregman and call it a day. That's it. The Yankees have had a terrific offseason if they get Bregman, in addition to all the moves they made, with factoring in they lost Juan Soto in free. Like, that's a huge deal if they could get Bregman. Screw the draft picks. Now, if you're a lesser team that wants to sign Pete Alonso, you're interested, but you're worried about the draft picks, that I could understand. So there's no question. It's a good point, Jeff. There's no question that it has diminished or hurt, whatever adjective you want to use, the value of Pete Alonso on the open market, which makes it even more likely that he'd come back to the Mets. But if the Mets think that they could get him for under $100 million, like, would I want to sign Pete Alonso for 3 years, $90 million? Absolutely. I think it's perfect. I would go myself to 140, 150 if that's what it takes, unless you show me a better option. Doesn't mean that there aren't better options. It means that I need to see it. What are they? Because the ones that are out there that are obvious, Bregman, Arenado, moving up the young kids, Beatty, Mauricio, whatever it may be, and moving Vientos to first, those options aren't any good. So I need to see the good options. A good alternative. There were good alternatives, though those alternatives are now off the board. Andrew is in Shirley. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Sal, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Andrew. How are you?
Good, good. Listen, Pete Alonso's got to be signed by the Mets, and Pete Alonso's got to get, not the ridiculous contract, but that 4 or 5 year contract. And I'll tell you why. I don't want this short-term bet on myself, couple opt-out type contracts for Pete, because as much as Pete might step up in the bigger moments, as we've seen at least recently, I don't like him having that pressure that he's fighting for another $100 million on his name. I want him actually, it might sound crazy, he's one of those players I kind of just want to be comfortable and enjoying baseball, and I think that's when you get the best out of him, not under pressure. It works for other guys. It doesn't work for Pete, in my opinion.
I think that's smart. But again, that's not going to be – like, that's Pete's choice, right? He's going to have – I would think he'd have an option. And let's just assume that the – and thank you for the call, Andrew. Let's just assume that the 3 years, $90 million is a real offer. He's not playing under pressure right out of the gate. He's got $90 million secured, and he's got 3 seasons to further prove himself and get another, let's say, 3 years on top of that. But I agree with you, Andrew, that I think Pete would benefit from being locked up. It's why I say that I would go to 140, 150, call it a day. Give him the offer that you offered him a couple years ago. He hasn't really changed as a player. Now, maybe the market's changed a little bit, but he himself hasn't changed as a player in those 2 years. So just go give Pete the contract that you gave him before, assuming he would take that. It gives you protection for Juan Soto in the lineup, makes the fans happy. You get the power in that lineup, homegrown Met, all that other nonsense. And it takes the pressure off of Pete, where he's getting that longer-term deal and the 140, let's just say 150 security. That, to me, is the best of both worlds. All I know is this. The more that this goes on, the more I feel like Pete's going to be hurt by this, which to me seems less likely that Pete would come back. I don't know what options he has, But I got to believe that if there is a decent option, or all things equal, Pete right now might be leaning to go elsewhere because he feels hurt or disrespected by the Mets. BT and Sal on the Fan. BT off. I'll have the Francesa brothers hanging out with us for a couple of hours here coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll have Jack in studio. Harrison will then join after 12 o'clock. Actually, we'll do a segment with both coming up at 11:40. So we got a lot for you today on this family-friendly holiday edition of BT and Sal. 888-808-1019. Your calls on the other side. BT and Sal back on the Fan. A very special holiday family-friendly edition of the show coming up at 11 o'clock. We will start wheeling in the Francesa brothers. Jack Francesa will join me at 11 o'clock. I'll have both Jack and Harrison in at 11:40 for a little special 3RQ. And then, of course, Harrison will take over at 12 o'clock. We'll do a special pick segment at 12:40 with the both of them. So a lot of fun coming your way here with Jack and Harrison. Francesa, as BT is off today, why not have some fun around the holidays here? And this is something that the station has done in recent years. Where Carton and Russo's kid did shows together, and then I had Jack and Harrison on. I actually met Jack because I had Mike in studio at SNY years ago. And a couple of years ago, and then Jack and I started to text a little bit. He's a Falcon fan like myself, so we're texting about that. And then I met Harrison and Jack with my wife in Saratoga, and she was blown away. Oh my God, what well-mannered kids, nice kids. And then we started texting a little bit, had him on my podcast, the WFAN Daily Podcast. So I was like, you know what, let's see if we could do what Carton and Russo did years ago. Asked the bosses, see if we have a little Francesa holiday with the boys, and it got approved, and I'm looking forward to having them on and having some fun with them coming up in a little bit. We'll continue with your calls here on the baseball stuff. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Gleyber Torres off the board. I was reading somewhere today, I think it was the Post, that, you know, if the Yankees ran out of options, maybe they bring back Gleyber. Come on. The Yankees, if they wanted Gleyber, they would have brought him back. Gleyber desperately wanted to be here. Well, he is now off the board. I guess Heyman had it first. I'm not sure exactly, but I'll just give Heyman credit. What the hell? Hoff, if you know who had it first, let me know just so I give the right credit. But either way, Gleyber Torres to the Detroit Tigers. One year, $15 million for Detroit. So Gleyber, and it's the right move for the Yankees. They need to move on. However, moving on does mean you need to replace that offensive production. The Yankees' best offensive players in the postseason a year ago were Gleyber, Soto, and Stanton. Two of those guys are now gone. It doesn't mean you can't replace them or win differently. And the Yankees, and you're seeing, and now that I guess Yankees are after Chafin and for the bullpen, their top lefty going to be a priority. For me, if the Yankees had Chafin, that's fine for the bullpen. But the perfect offseason, all things considered, when you lose Juan Soto, when you are on to plan B or plan C, whatever it is, the perfect offseason for the Yankees would be if they finished this puzzle by adding Bregman. They're built on now pitching, whether it's the starters with Fried being in that rotation, with Williams in the bullpen. They need to shore up the defense. They need a third baseman. They get Goldschmidt at first base. All right, fine, another old declining first baseman. All right, but for, you know, a year at a good value, you get that veteran presence and good glove. Now they need to complement that with Bregman at third. Bellinger, Goldschmidt, Bregman, you're Jazz for a full year. That, to me, is the perfect offseason. If they don't get Bregman, like Arenado, to me, is not a home run. That's a plan C. But if they don't get Bregman, I think it would be a disappointing offseason for the Yankees. If they do get Bregman, I think that's as good an offseason as you could have, considering that they just lost Juan Soto. Back to the Pete Alonso stuff, 888-808-1019. Tom is in Poughkeepsie. What's up, Tom?
How you doing, Sal? I don't know if it could or would or whatever. I mean, I want to bring Alonso back. I love Alonso. But if Alonso does decide, you know, screw you, Mets, I'm going to Chicago or whatever, is one of these, like, logjam young catchers able to, like, convert to a first baseman?
Oh,
or
come on.
Would that be like a...
But, Tom, that can't be the alternative after you just paid $765 million for Juan Soto. Who do you want to catch? No, Ronnie Torrens or whatever, the backup catcher? Come on.
No, I agree. But, again, if Alonso decides to leave, you got to have, like, what would be your, you know...
Not anybody from within the organization. Tom, it's why I'm asking for a name. I don't have an alternative. I don't have a good one. My dream would be to trade for Guerrero Jr. I don't know if he's going to be available. I wanted Willy Adames. He's no longer available. They're in a spot, right, in my mind. They have to bring Pete back. That's the whole point of this conversation for the first half hour. If he decides to leave, then what? What are they going to do?
I don't know. I mean, I would have signed Alonso yesterday. Obviously, both sides are not coming to a head.
Well, because you know what the issue is, and thanks for the call, Tom. Pete, and this has always been the problem with him, values himself far greater than what the reality of his value is on the open market. It's not that the Mets don't value Pete Alonso. It's that they want to pay market price. They offered him 2 years ago. He should have taken the deal. He screwed it up, thinking he was going to get $300 million like Aaron Judge. And then he got worse. Like, if Pete went out there and hit 60 home runs this year, I mean, 60. How about 50? And Judge doesn't only hit 300. He hit 60 home runs. Pete thought he's getting $300 million. Yeah, you might be as good a home run hitter, you know, since you come into the league, whatever, or close to the power. You don't have anything else. He's not good defensively. He doesn't run well. He's not a high average guy. Now, again, I'm not trying to minimize Pete because I think it's important that the Mets bring him back. But what's the value for him? Who else, though? So there's two sides of it. Okay, well, what's the market for Pete Alonso? Who wants him? Fair enough. But for the Mets to get Pete back, I think they've got to be a little bit more giving than maybe another team. I think if all things are equal, Pete's leaving. Because I think he's going to say, you know what, screw you. In spite, he'd probably leave. I'll go somewhere else for 3 years, $90 million or whatever, and go have fun in Chicago, whatever it may be. Now, again, I don't know this. I'm just doing some math and using a little common sense. The Mets, at the very least, could come to where they were 2 years ago. He's the same player. As a matter of fact, he might even get a little bit better with the security of that deal. Now, if Pete doesn't want to take... See, this is where I would blame... Right now, I'm blaming the Mets because I believe the Mets think Pete is valued at under $100 million. To what I heard, and then there's that report about Baerga. If that's the case, I'm blaming the Mets on that. They've got to come up a little bit. If Pete turned down $140 or $150, then to me, the blame is on Pete. But the Mets, regardless of who you want to blame, whose fault is it, the Mets playing a game of chicken, Pete wanting more money, I don't really care about Pete. I care about the Mets. So if Pete leaves for whatever reason, Mets don't want to pay him what he thinks he's worth, Pete doesn't want to be here, he thinks he's worth more, show me the alternative. I don't think the Mets have as much leverage as they're making it out to be because there is no good alternative. Joe is in Miller Place. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how's it going? I think you're right there. The Mets tried to do the right thing. They offered him 6 years, $158 million, whatever it was. They're actually up now from $26 million to $30 million a year now. Like, what does he want? Does he want years or does he want the money?
I think he wants both. I think he wants probably $30 million a year for 5 years.
Right, but I think Boris is the one to blame. He did the same thing with Conforto. He had a $120 million contract. Now he's chasing one-year deals. So, I mean... The Mets are really trying to do the right thing here. He's just trying to have it all, and he's not. I mean, Harper's $27.5 million right now. He's not Bryce Harper. He's not great defensively. So I think Boris is to blame for all this, really.
Yeah, well, no, Pete is the one who fired his agents, thanks for the call, Joe, and then went and got Boris because he was probably sold a bill of goods. Pete believed in himself and maybe didn't think that the team that he was with could get him the most money, and he went out and got Scott Boris. He was wrong. Pete made a mistake. We said it at the time. Pete thought he was going to get a lot more than what he's really worth. I don't know where Boris, Boris just sold him on that idea, but like you got to deal in reality. Pete was never getting that ridiculous contract, $300 million, $250. Now he's lucky if he gets $150. I think if the Mets offered him 5 years, $30 million a year, he'd be an absolute idiot not to take that at $150. That would have actually been more than what they offered him a couple years ago that he turned down. I don't think he's getting that. Let's say he gets 27, as I do my math here, 27 times 5. $27 million a year for 5 years, 135. That's probably where I would sit for Pete, max. I mean, like, what's another $5 million to go to 140? But you can't play this game all day long. Well, then what's another $10 million to go to 150? But that's, to me, where the Mets should be valuing Pete. What he's done for the franchise, what he projects to do, and what he can be right now in that lineup with Juan Soto. I think he's worth $27 million a year, 5 years, roughly around that max. Sal is in Keyport, New Jersey. What's up, Sal? I don't think you like that.
Are you kidding me? $27 million? I wouldn't give that guy $15 million. Why are you going to pay him that money?
Okay, well, then, that's great,
for loyalty?
No. Because you want...
Then why?
Well, okay, because
why?
You want...
Because of the home run
that
he hit?
Let me talk! I'm going to answer you, and then I want you to answer me. Why I would do it, Sal, is because I want protection in that lineup for Soto. You let him walk, fine, I respect that. Who are you replacing him with? Who's protecting Soto?
But, first off, before I say who's going to replace him if we get somebody... What did he hit last year?
Yeah, why?
If I was a pitcher, and I know that Alonso's hitting behind Soto, mm-hmm. I'll be salivating to get to him.
Okay. Well, then there's going to be a lot of guys on base, quite a bit for Pete Alonso, who has driven in runs and does hit with power. I mean, that's his thing. That's what he does. Those are two things that he's done.
That's what he used to do.
No, he still does
it. The guy, diminished ability is the bottom line. The guy is not what he used to be.
He hit 34 home runs a year ago.
And what was his batting average?
He hit 240.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
240.
Yeah.
Come on.
I know
the batting averages are low now.
Yeah.
They're down to like 280.
Well, considering you're 217 the year before, point is, Pete, every year is going to hit you 35.
Excuse me? 217.
Yeah, the year before that. That's what I said. He raised his average.
Get rid of him next.
Okay, now Sal, who's going to replace him?
You got to go get Vladimir.
Okay, and say the Blue Jays say we're not trading him. They extend him. Then what?
Then you got to go somewhere else.
That's all I'm asking you, Sal. I respect that you don't want Alonso. That's fine. Who? Vladimir's not an option.
You know
who
what?
Is it?
The guy Rizzo would be better than that. At least.
Come on. Anthony Rizzo. Okay. Just for fun, Sal, to appease you. This damn computer, let's get this thing working. Just to appease you, I'll pull up. Hoff, can you do this actually so we can have the back and forth? Because I'm going to keep Alonzo's numbers up here. Pull up Anthony Rizzo's baseball reference page. And for Sal and Keyport, who diminishes Alonzo. And by the way, I don't even love Alonzo. I want the records to state I don't love Alonzo. And I don't get caught up in the homegrown nonsense. Like, I respect where the Mets are trying to go here with his value. However, there is no better option than Pete Alonso that at least I can see. An unforeseen trade? Good luck finding somebody that's going to replace that type of power. Hoff, what did Rizzo hit last year batting average-wise?
About 228.
Okay. So here's the guy that called and said he doesn't want Alonso because he's washed up and it's, 240 average. He wants to replace him with a guy that hit 228. How many home runs did Rizzo have a year ago, Hoff?
He had eight.
Eight. Eight home runs. How many games did he play?
Played 92.
Yeah, 92 games. Eight home runs in 92 games. That's the player that you want to replace.
Can I do you one better, actually? Just to be fair, because 92 games is not a good, good.
But he's always hurt. How many games did he play the year before that?
So he played 99, but here we go. The last 2 years, he played 191 games, batted 237, hit 20 home runs.
All right. So that's his combined total.
Yes.
Still not, come on. Still not even close to Pete Alonso.
Oh, his OPS was 673.
Who are the options? That's what I want to know. You didn't give me one. You could say you don't want Pete back. Like, I would be in it. As a matter of fact, I said it first. Before the offseason started, I said I wanted Soto and Adamas. Oh, how can you let Pete walk? Well, now you have no option, so now they got to bring Pete back. Now I don't want Pete to walk. But it's not a homegrown thing. It's not that I love Pete. I'm just looking to produce players that can produce, especially now with Juan Soto in that lineup. Who is it? I don't think the Mets have a choice. It's got to be Pete. BT and Sal back on the fan. BT still off enjoying vacation. I hopped in, interrupted this vacation for a family-friendly holiday edition of BT and Sal, as we will soon welcome in the Francesa brothers. Jack Francesa will start us off at 11. Harrison will come on at 11:40. They'll both do picks as well at 12:40. We get a little old-school feel for you, so you want to stay tuned for that. Talking with them each and every break here. We're having a lot of fun. And like we said, the opportunity was there for Carton's son and Russo's son a couple years ago. I thought about it and was like, oh, man, this would be great to have Jack and Harrison in if the bosses allow it on the holiday season and they approve. So just a special little holiday edition. I mean, it is the Mike Francesa Studios, after all. The least we could do is have some fun with Jack and Harrison talking some sports. We'll get back to the calls now. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Vinny is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Vinny?
Merry Christmas, Sal. How are you doing today?
You too, Vinny. How are you?
Good. So, listen, next year is going to be loaded with first baseman, and that's Vlad Guerrero. And then you also got that Japanese first baseman that supposedly he's like almost like Matsui-like type first baseman. So I think that's another reason why the Mets are hesitant to give Pete Alonso the money. But right now, if let's say Vlad stays with Toronto or they keep him up until the trade deadline, just keep Vlad in your back pocket. But I don't think they want to extend Alonso to that point because they want to go after a lot. They want to go after Vlad, like a younger 25-year-old, 26-year-old first baseman. And I think with Soto and Vlad Guerrero and Lindor, that is scary.
Yeah, I get
to
it.
Think about.
I get it, Vinny.
There's nobody out there.
Well, let's just say though, and I get what you're saying, and that would be what I would want. Okay, that you would want that. Right. I would want that. Maybe the Mets would want. Let's say he's not available. Let's say he's not available. Then what?
Right. Well, the Yankees are in the same boat as a third baseman. Like, you're saying Nolan Arenado is a third baseman. Like, who else is out there? That's why I don't like the internal options, just like you don't like the internal options. But I think if you give Vientos a chance, and that was the best thing about 2024, you hated Vientos in the beginning of the year, and all of a sudden he puts up 25, 26 home runs.
He had a great year.
Great year. If you give him 1 year, just the 1 year, give him a 1 year chance, see what he can do. If not, then that's where you pivot to Guerrero if he gets a free agency or that Japanese hitter once he gets a free agency.
Who's playing third then for you now?
As of right now, let's say you're still interested in Bregman, but I don't think that's a long shot
Bregman's available. I think he's a better fit for the Yankees. Right. I was just having this conversation with Harrison during the break. I think Bregman's a better fit for the Yankees. Like, if the Mets got him, would I be upset? No, but I don't think he's the impact bat. I think Pete's a better bat. He's a better power bat. That's what I want. Right. I want a power bat with guys on base.
I think if you could give Beatty a chance, just a chance. I'm not saying you have to. I know you hated that, but it's 1 year because the Mets.
They didn't panic for Soto. But now's the time, Vinny, and thank you for the call. And you're right; it is just 1 year, and I'm afraid that they might be thinking that. However, it's not just 1 year. They just went out and signed the biggest free agent contract ever in Juan Soto. It's not just 1 year. The expectations are going to be through the roof. This is pedal to the metal time. This isn't wait till next year again. Last year was wait till next year. Now, it's next year. This is it. There is no more next year. It's from now on. This team should be a World Series caliber team. Doesn't mean that the results are going to back that up every single year, but the offseason should be. Going into a season, it can't be, all right, well, we'll have Vientos at first base in his sophomore season. Who knows what the sophomore, whatever it may be. And then the third base, you're going to go with Mauricio or Beatty. Oh, my God. No, one or the other, sure. You can't have both. Hoff, you had something you wanted to add here?
Well, it's similar to what you just said. I keep on hearing this with the Mets and the Yankees. It's, oh, we're planned for next year. Next year. Dude, the Yankees were in the World Series last year. The Mets just made a move for Juan Soto. This is the year you have to try to win. Don't worry about next year. Let next year happen next year. Yeah. This is the year you have to focus on.
And to further that, and I really do think that that's the case the majority of time with the New York teams, especially now where the Mets have gone to the big boy table along with the Yankees here. For me, and everybody's like, oh, you're so critical of these teams. Like, what's going to make you happy? Well, I'll tell you. What would make me happy from a Mets perspective, and by the way, the Mets need even more than just bringing back Alonso. To me, they still need at least another pitcher, and they need an entire bullpen. But I'm not going to go crazy and say it was a failure of an offseason or be disappointed if the Mets minimum bring back Alonso. They did what they had to do with Manaea. Now it's Alonso, and then it's pretty much, okay, figure out the staff, and they should be all right. Yeah, DH, whatever, but that's a minor move. With the Yankees, same thing. Everybody, oh, you're always ripping the Yankees, and they lost Soto, but the offseason has been great. I don't think it's been great yet. I think they're one piece away. If the Yankees get Bregman, then I will say it has been a perfect offseason for the Yankees, all things considered, meaning you lose Juan Soto, and then you replace him with the best pitcher available in Fried, at least from my mind, the best closer available in Williams. You get Bellinger, you get Goldschmidt, and Bregman. You get a professional, good defensive first baseman. Same thing at third base. Bellinger's versatile. To me, that's as good an offseason as you could possibly have, but that's a big piece in Bregman that the Yankees need. Dawn and Michael, we got a twofer on this Friday. Is in Massapequa. What's up, Dawn and Michael?
Hey, how's it going, Sal?
Good. How are you?
Good. I was just thinking, what if the Mets bring Alonso back on a 2-3 year deal? Do you think that closes the door at them potentially getting Vladdy next year?
No.
And potentially move Pete to DH after that?
Correct. I don't. I think that would be the best case. Is this Dawn or Michael that I'm talking to?
This is Michael.
Michael, I figured that. I just didn't want to offend anybody. I think that's the best case scenario, which is probably what the Mets are trying to do. It also, to me, though, gets to a point where, Pete, you're really running the risk of upsetting Pete and hurting his feelings. As pathetic as that may sound, it's the reality. And I don't care about that. But what I do care is about if he does decide to walk, then what? But yeah, ideally, if you sign Pete to 2 or 3 years, could you move him to DH and sign Vladdy? Absolutely. And then that would be a real home run. And thank you for the call, the both of you. When we come back, we'll have the first of the two Francesa brothers in studio, in the Mike Francesa studios. Jack Francesa will be joining us. He's the elder one, so that's why I wanted to get him in here first. And we're going to turn our attention to some football. I have some strong opinions on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Jack does as well, so we will do that when we come back. BT and Sal on the Fan.